want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is Renew, Remember, Repent, and Return. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
This is taken out of the story of Josiah. And I've always loved the story of Josiah because I've always been amazed at the fact that he was 8 years old when he became king. And I think about, boy, the pressure. Just imagine to become a king of a country at 8 years old. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 1 through 3, it says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. Now, when it says his father David, David wasn't his direct father. It was an ancestor. But they used the term father like that. Not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, so that means he's 16 years old now at this point, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, carved idols, and cast images. So that means in his 12th year of reigning as king, that means he's 20 years old now. And so at 16 years old, it's like the Lord just really got a hold of him, and he really began to have some conviction. And at 20 years old, he just begins to say, you know what, we're going to take this serious. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And let me share an illustration with you real quickly, though. At the Gold City Gem Mine in Franklin, North Carolina. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody ever been to one of those gem mines where they allow you to just go and dig through the dirt and see if you can find something? I went through one. Pastor Cindy and I think the kids were with us, too. We went to one in Arkansas. And I now look back on it, and I'm pretty convinced that what they do is every once in a while throw a little something shiny in that dirt and kind of mix it in so you think you really found something. So you're willing to pay your 10 bucks or whatever it is to get in there to look for it, and at least you can come out with something, right? And so we found a few little shiny things, you know. And so I was pretty convinced, you know, all of those things are just a sham. They're just trying to get your money. But in this particular case, the Gold City Gem Mine in Franklin, North Carolina, customers pay a small fee for a bucket of dirt. And out of the mine, the dirt contains rocks, usually worthless rocks, and the joy of treasure hunting, and occasionally a real gemstone out of the mine would, you know, that is what would occur. In July of 1995, though, a third grader named Griffin McCurry paid for just such a bucket of dirt. And as you might expect, it didn't look like there was any kind of hidden treasure there. But there was a rock in that dirt that the boy just happened to keep because he liked the shape of it. And so People Magazine reported that it was a saleswoman from the jewelry store at the mine who actually noticed the rock and gave it a closer inspection, only to find out that it was a 1,104-carat sapphire that had the value of about $45,000. When I read that, it made me want to go back to one of those mines and start digging again. So everybody likes a treasure story, and this is what I see. This is how I see this story about Josiah. It's a treasure story because he makes an incredible discovery. And so this happened when he actually discovered the law in the temple, the Old Testament law, in the temple during Josiah's renovation. And it's really an incredible, incredible story. God's word, how many of you know, first of all, God's word is the best treasure we could ever have. It's priceless. It's amazing to me that we have this priceless gem in God's word, and yet you got to beg people to read it. But yet, I mean, it contains life. I mean, it does for you what a sapphire cannot. So at 20 years old, Josiah's actions brought about the greatest revival for that country up to that time. For 6 years, he just went at it and turned his world upside down. Jeremiah, the prophet, actually started preaching at the age of 14 during Josiah's revival. Josiah's father was a very evil man, and his grandfather, Manasseh, also was a very evil man. And so these are kings that were passing down the throne to their sons. And so he came from a family of very wicked people. And so, which is awesome, because that tells me that it doesn't matter what your family has done in the past, it doesn't stop you from being a treasure for God and for his kingdom. Because of Israel's great rebellion, God allowed the Assyrians, who were some brutal people, to come and to take them into captivity. And so Isaiah the prophet, the Bible tells us, literally was sown in half at that time, because he was preaching against the sins of Manasseh. Now, you think about that. I mean, you know, we think about persecution like somebody, you know, not liking us or saying something ugly to us or whatever. This guy, they sawed him in half for preaching the gospel. And it was Josiah's grandfather, Manasseh, that had that done. So this is what the Bible says about Manasseh in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 1 through 10. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places, which are places of false god worship, that his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. Also, again, those are idol worship places. He bowed down to all the starry host and worshiped them. In other words, he worshiped, you know, things of nature. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." And in both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry host. He sacrificed his sons in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced sorcery, divination, and witchcraft, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. This was a wicked man. He took the carved image that he had made, and he put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your forefathers. If only they will be careful to do everything I commanded them concerning all the laws, decrees, and ordinances given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So again, just kind of setting the background, this is Josiah's grandfather, and he literally had turned the entire nation into just idolatry and wickedness, and I mean, human sacrifice, burning his own children to death. I mean, how wicked can you get? So God was so grieved with his people that he said that he would wipe them away as a man wipes off a dish. And Manasseh did come. If you read his story, his full story, he did come to some repentance late in life, but he did not complete the job of tearing down the high places. And so he had led the people into so much wickedness that the consequences couldn't be avoided. You know, with any country, it's like that. A leader can lead a country into so much wickedness that no matter what you do, there will be consequences. I want to tell you, America was headlong running towards that. In fact, to some degree, still is. And I've often said, man, thank God something has happened to turn around this whole abortion issue, because the abortion issue is really no different than the king throwing his sons in the fire. It's still the same thing. It's a horrific thing. And thank God something has turned around. I believe that because of that, there's a reprieve of some kind that's holding back the judgment of God that would have, I believe, hit us already. So again, he led this people in terrible wickedness. Manasseh's son Amon, who succeeded him as king, also had been infected with his father's idolatry. We see in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 21 through 24, it says, Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 2 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols that Manasseh had made. But unlike his father Manasseh, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Amon increased his guilt. Amon's officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. So here's Josiah now. He has a grandfather who's one of the most wicked men ever to rule in Israel. And then his father comes along, and his father is just as wicked, except never comes to repentance in any way. And here's this little boy, that this is the environment he's grown up in. So never think, listen, never think that sin is okay with God. Never. You have to really get that printed down in your heart, because so many people, the day we live in, there's so much compromise within even the body of Christ that somehow we think that it's okay. You know, and one of the reasons for that, and I'm not saying this to talk bad about anybody or any religion, but there's this idea that there are some sins that it's okay, it's not too bad. But then you have other sins that, oh, you better not do that, because those are really bad. Right? We kind of have that in our culture. And, you know, they call them venial sins, and others are called mortal sins. Can I tell you that all sins, no matter what they are mortal sins? Because the wages of sin is death. There are no sins that, you know, God will let it slide. No, all sin leads to death. So never think that it's not going to have horrible consequences. You know,
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.